You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Vancouver. Vancouver, we've been telling you. Yes, we've been telling you on the Nux Misconduct Network. It's time to embrace the fake. All right, we've been telling you a lot of things on the network. A lot of things on Sipping on a 40. We told you first that Quinn Hughes is the best Canucks defenseman of all time. And in game four, he made everyone think the same. The standard not so high, though. Once again, though, embrace the fake. Your team, your city's team, Vancouver, your team. They're actually in the playoffs, and they're about to give you two more weeks minimum of a sport to care about. Vancouver, I'm telling you, the city right now, it's feeling right. This feels right. This is what it's like to actually be from Vancouver. Enjoy this episode of Sipping on a 40.
Man, we're gonna have a lot of fun tonight in Vancouver, all my real fans.
Yo, Vancouver. Hey, Vancouver. One more time, Vancouver. What is up? What is up? Welcome to another episode of Sipping on a 40. My name is Kyle Bowen. That's KyleBhawan. And to my left, it's Nick Bondi, the face of the franchise. Who compared you to Elias Pettersson? I did. And then Grady called me Quinn Hughes. Wow.
What would Grady have been?
Grady, just on that episode alone? Ah, just the best friend.
He would have been like a Brock Besser. You would have been.
I was gonna like throw it back to one of the best, like one of the best friends in Canucks history, Gina Ogic.
Yeah,
you're just a good guy, dude.
Guy everyone likes.
What a good guy.
Good
yo.
Teammate.
What a dude? One of the best dudes ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Yo, I think the city's gonna be a better place when he comes back home. Grady Sass, go check out that episode, I guess, if you want. It's kind of irrelevant now because it's a post game show. Yes, yeah. The post game show every night after the Canuck game. Bondi and I, especially during this run, we'll give you some. Give you some conversation, right? And I'm gonna be honest, I feel so happy right now, bro.
I miss this feeling, man. I miss this feeling. You know, the Canucks get a big dub, move on to the next round, and especially the way it happened in overtime right away.
Man,
it's hard to describe right now because it's a feeling we obviously haven't experienced since that year you don't want to talk about on that podcast.
Yeah, 100%. And shut the fuck up, okay? Come on, man.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. That's the last time they won a series, but I didn't say it. I'm just saying.
It's moments like this, and this is going to sound extreme. I don't think this team's going far. I really don't. You never know, though. It's 2020. But it's moments like this that will always remind me that when that first team wins a Stanley Cup, 2011, it won't be irrelevant. It won't be irrelevant. But it's going to be watered down a lot because winning actually matters. So I guess that's why I don't care that much about 2011 anymore, because we haven't seen the actual prize, the Stanley Cup, come home to Vancouver. Again, we're foreshadowing so much with this conversation. The Canucks just beat the Minnesota Wild in a play-in round. Again, the Minnesota Wild. Again, the worst team in the dance. The worst team in the dance. Best player, Kevin Fiala. Their second best player wasn't even in the lineup today. With that being said, let's be real, let's be honest. The Canucks win this game if Markstrom, they win this game outright if Markstrom doesn't suck today. He was so bad today, bro.
It was a poor game for Markstrom. Four. There was at least three goals, I would say. Three of the four he should have had. He had that goal on Staal. Obviously the one by Sturm, is that his name?
Yeah.
I don't even know this guy's name still. Sturm had that fourth goal. He had three of them I think were short side.
Yeah,
100%. Like it was just a bad game for Markstrom, and you know what? Good on the team for bailing him out. Markstrom's bailed out that team so often during the regular season before the pause, and now they bailed him out. It was good to see. It was good. It was good to see.
It was great to see, and that was going to be my next point. He was allowed to suck, I guess, right? Because he was so good throughout the season. This dude played against a defense. No, played behind a defense. I'm sorry. That sucks for the most part.
Very, very porous defense. And yeah, like Markstrom's allowed to have bad games. Not every game can be like a game three game where he gets a shutout, makes a bunch of great saves. You can't expect that from a goalie.
Yeah, and it may sound negative. It may sound pessimistic, but this was just a really horrendous performance based on what went in. It was gross. Pretty much everything but the Cunning goal was gross. Yet the Canucks found a way to be gutsy. And it was throughout the lineup. It really was. It really was. When the game was 3-1, everyone on this roster played well. Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. Now Quinn Hughes may get the big limelight after this performance. The dude was a game breaker today. All throughout the game. He was just great. Did he make mistakes? Yes, but that's just the way he plays. He's reckless. He's chaos on the ice.
Mm-hmm. He's going to create more chances.
100%. Best Canucks defenseman of all time. 100%, 100%. But throughout the lineup, we're talking about Sutter again. We're talking about Mott. I thought McEwen played well. There are even moments where Erickson did his thing. I'm talking about compete level along the boards. The Canucks brought it after they were down 3-1 throughout the whole game. And even in the third period when Minnesota was attempting to trap it up, right? Snooze fest type of game. The Canucks knew what they had to do. They're like, fuck this. If they're just going to sit back, we're going to skate. We're way more talented. Way more talented against the worst team in the dance, the Minnesota Wild. So applause to that, man. Straight up applause to that. They actually won for Jacob Markstrom. He deserves that. They did it for Markstrom. We sent out the tweet.
Yeah.
What was it?
Win it for Markstrom.
Win it for Markstrom. They
hashtag
did it.
Win it for Markstrom. And they did that. And hey, you were right beside me during this game at the Post Up Studios. When it was 3-1, I was very pessimistic because I know how the Minnesota Wild play. We've seen it in the series. We saw it in game one, and they've tried to do it every time they've taken the lead. Sit back, trap it up, clog up the middle, don't allow anything. And credit to the Vancouver Canucks, they managed to tie it up at 3-3. And then, you know, Jacob Markstrom lets that 4-3 goal. It was such a backbreaking goal right at the end of the second period. You're thinking, man, if that's a game winner, that could send this series into a bad spiral.
No, 100%.
But 100%. Shout out to Bo Horvat. I thought Tanner Pearson had a great game. Bo Horvat had a great game, and it was a foundational game, you can call it, by Brandon Sutter. He had an awesome game as well. Two back-to-back awesome games. He's making me eat my words.
Oh, dude.
I was calling this guy a bum all season.
Bum all season, and this dude had the audacity after the first period in the second game. I think you dropped an F-bomb on one of the intermission reports. You were so mad at him. You were so mad at him. I saw it in your eyes. But the love is kind of growing right now for Brandon Sutter, and obviously because these are meaningful games. And when you do great things in meaningful games, the people, the city, come on, bro. You know it. They remember. But let's just move on, okay? The game was won. Gutsy effort. They kept coming back. We'll talk about Quinn Hughes primarily after our conversation with Hassan from Cap Space Wins Podcast. Oh, sorry, Wins Cups Podcast.
Not just wins cups.
100%. Yo, it's the brothers. The brothers are doing this. It's
a family affair.
The second greatest brother tandem, or I know it's the first trio. They're second on the list of brothers when it comes to the world of hockey in Vancouver, okay? That podcast. But I want to say this. I want to say thank you to the Vancouver Canucks. Because we all know it, right? We all know it. Overtime in a playoff game, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. You can't lie to me. It's only fun when you win. It's only fun when the puck crosses the other goalie's line. But everything around it, it sucks. It really does. And that feeling was coming back because this is what? A meaningful game. Yo, Nick was nervous. He almost was crying. But the fact that the Vancouver Canucks got it done early, that is probably one of the nicest things this franchise has ever done to me. Straight up. That was so nice of them. It was over. Before I knew it, before I could even stress about it, and we won. That's in my top 20 Canucks memories of all time.
Yeah, and feel free to check out that video online of me, you, and Hamrosh Five God, celebrating when the Canucks scored that winner. Like, we were just going absolutely bananas in here.
Bananas, because it was a moment. That definitely was a moment that I'll always remember for the rest of my life, because it's a playoff goal. Vancouver, you just got a playoff OT goal. Something big happened on a Friday night, yo. City's turned up. City, City's turned up. City feels right. Vancouver, this is it. This is it. Now let's go on over to that conversation with Hassan again. A trio of brothers in the city of Vancouver who love this team probably more than anyone. Based on what I saw today, this conversation just tells you, man, that we talked to a real fan.
That studio setup was mint.
Beautiful,
mint.
Man. Beautiful. We talked to a real fan. I feel blessed. I feel fucking blessed we talked to this dude. I've never seen a smile that large in my life in front of a Canuck mantle. Beautiful, beautiful. Enjoy this conversation on Sipping on a 40, and after we'll end off the episode with Quinn Hughes talk. I can't wait for that, yo. I can't wait for that. You're listening, yes, listening to Sipping on a 40. Okay, you're listening to Sipping on a 40. Nick Bondi, Kyle Bowen. We're joined by Hassan from Cap Space Wins Cups podcast. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, boys. It's a fucking great day. Chris Tanner with the OT winner. Canucks going to the playoffs. How can I be any better?
Real talk. I want an honest answer from you. You've watched a ton of games. I'm looking at the background right now. Dude, I'm looking at this dude's setup right now. It reminds me of why I need to work hard in life. So I can just build myself a man cave again with just Canuck stuff.
That is some sick merch you've got. Come there. On. Like, is that what? Whose stick is that?
Henrik Sedin up there.
Oh, okay. This guy's bringing it, man. Yeah. Bringing it. Hassan from Cap Space Wins Cups podcast. Man, that's a Friday night, man. When was the last time a Friday night in Vancouver for you was this much fun?
Oh, been a while, eh? I mean, Canucks-wise, it's been a long time. I mean, fucking 2011 was the last time I think I've been pumped up about a Canucks game, boys. Like, it's been a while for this franchise. And I mean, like, 5 years ago when the Canucks went up against the Flames, it was probably the last time there was any meaningful games like this going on. So, you know, it's been too long. So super excited about this one.
Oh, super excited, man. Super excited. And you went back 5 years, and that's what everyone really goes to. 5 years ago, that's the last time games kind of got us nervous. I think here it's a little bit different, and I'm not just being biased because of relevancy or just because they won a round. It's different because it's just a new set of players. So our experience, the city's experience with this amount of success, because this is real success, right? This is not winning draft lotteries. This is not playing better. This is winning a round in the NHL playoffs. It's our first time going through this with all these new faces, and the best of the best on this team really showed up today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, obviously it's kind of a different feeling than 2015. Calgary, the team that we had that year, Henrik Sedin, Dan Sedin still on the team, Burrows, Bieksa, kind of like one last shot with the old group. You know, there was no Stanley Cup aspirations. Not saying there's any Cup aspirations right now, but obviously, like you said, you know, who carried the victory tonight? You know, it was Quinn Hughes, it was Elias Pettersson, it was Bo Horvat, right? Those, you know, you got a young players get you excited that, you know, you see there's a future here. That this is not just going to be a one-time thing. That, you know, there's a chance that this team could be doing this again in the future. You know, maybe there's some bad contracts and stuff right now, but that doesn't really matter at the moment because, you know, it's all about the results in front of you. So, you know, whether always there's a lot of divide in Canucks fandom on how the team should be managed and run. But, you know, at the moment, none of that shit really matters because, you know, plays on the ice matter right now. So your contract doesn't matter. If you put in results, then that's what matters.
Yeah, and you mentioned someone I wanted to talk about, Quinn Hughes. This guy was just an absolute stud tonight. This guy was wheeling and dealing all game. He was just circling around the offensive zone. He is just such an exciting defenseman in the likes of someone we've never seen before as Canucks fans, right? Like, we've had solid defensemen before. We've had guys like, I'm thinking like, and we were talking, me and Kyle were talking about this during the game. Alex Edler, with his first few years as a Canucks, was a really solid defenseman. We've had guys like Matthias Olin, and even a guy like, I even like the guy like Kevin Bieksa. He was a really solid defensive. But we've never had a game changer on the blue line like Quinn Hughes. And I know, I think Halford and Bruff have brought this up on their show before. It's maybe one of the main reasons the Vancouver Canucks have never won the Stanley Cup. They've never had that stud on the blue line. And it's just nice to have that affirmed in a playoff game that, yeah, Quinn Hughes, this guy is an absolute stud that we can build our blue line with going forward.
No, 100%. I mean, this is the first time we've seen this team win a playoff round with an actual legit number one defenseman, and it just looks different. You know, when you have a quarterback back there, and it's not just referencing his play to on the power play. just the whole game, he's the quarterback. He sets the tone. And we've never seen that in the city. And I'm going to be honest, Hassan, this is sipping on a 40. You know this is special territory right now, right? Because it may not be the most popping podcast out there, but it is the first podcast to ever say on a mic and upload it, Quinn Hughes is the best Canucks defenseman of all time. I said that after game one. I said that after game one. And I was getting ridiculed. Yeah. It's probably part of the
including
reason.
Including me. I'll admit it. I said it was way too early to say this guy's the best Canucks defenseman already.
I knew it. We're talking. You're talking to Kyle Bowen. K-Y-L-E-B-H-A-W-A-N. I knew it. And we've watched these games. And look at the backdrop right now. Look at your backdrop. No, I want you to look at it. Just look at it for me, man. Okay, you see that? You know your history. You know it too. No one close has gotten to this level.
No disagreements there, boys. You guys are totally nailing it right now. Quinn Hughes was a stud out there, like you said. Like you said, there's been some good guys back there. And the thing is, like you look at the 2011 core. No doubt, hands down, best team that's ever been assembled in Vancouver. And they didn't have a number one defenseman. Christian Yarov was a dynamite on the power play. Amius was solid in his own end. BXL, Tanev, Edler.
Wait. You know what? No.
That's the number one rule on this show. No 2011 talk.
Number one rule on the podcast. Yeah. No 2011 talking. I was just, this guy had me going somewhere. He had me thinking about Christian Ehrhoff on the power play and Dan Hatt. I was like, y'all, get the fuck out of here, man. Okay, it's 2020. It's 2020. No 2011 talk on sipping on a 40.
No 2011 talk. Okay? But like you said, no number one defensemen's on this team in a while, even on the strongest teams. It was mostly because of the depth. Like, you've got the Canucks have never had a Duncan Keith kind of player or a Chara kind of player where you just throw them out there 27, 28 minutes a night and everything changes. Like, this D-core may not be good, but Quinn Hughes played 27 minutes and 31 seconds of ice Saturday in a non-overtime game. Because he played 10 minutes in the third period. You put him out there, and you're in control of the game. That's what you need from your number one defenseman. He's so elusive. Doesn't get hit. He can play the whole freaking game. Just put him out there.
Yes.
Like you said, 3 assists, 3 apples tonight for him.
Woo!
Three apples. It's the golden assist tonight. It's two points.
Yeah,
still so dynamic, so elusive. Like you said, those are the kind of game-breaking players you need if you want to go far in the playoffs. And the Canucks have never had that. I think the Canucks have it in both positions. They're number one center who's game-breaking talent, number one defenseman. And Markstrom didn't show it tonight, but, he's had a Vezina caliber season. So,
You know what? I'm already saying it, and I've been on record, too, because this is sipping on a 40. I've already said that Elias Pettersson is the second most talented Canuck of all time. Like, just based on his individual talent, this guy's incredible. Quinn Hughes is already in the top five. He's in there with the Pavel Bure's, Henrik Daniel, Elias Pettersson, and dude, it sounds crazy because it's been 80 games in total, maybe. I'm not doing the math, but it's just how mediocre this franchise has been for 50 years and their inability to cater towards a Canadian market and get a number one defenseman, it is atrocious. Don't you think, Nick?
It's tough to find those number one stud defensemen. You gotta be either A, drafting really high in the draft, or B, get lucky later on in the draft to get those guys, and the Canucks have never really done either, right? So
100%.
Yeah, like obviously, like you said, pretty much what you guys are saying exactly. Like, no, like you don't trade for number one defenseman, right? You draft him, like you said, and Quinn Hughes definitely fell in the Canucks' lap the year they drafted him.
Bro, I remember being in the car, just praying that he would drop to us, and it was because Trevor Beggs, the boss. I think like 6 months before the draft actually happened, we used to do a show called We Talkin' Hockey on YouTube, and he's like, yo, the Canucks should draft Quinn Hughes. So he got me hyped up. Now, Hassan, we're running out of time here. I got to ask you a question. It's a personal question. Don't take offense. It's just Kyle Bowen, honest person, honest podcast. Are you Fijian, dude?
No, I'm not Fijian, bro.
Disappointed Kyle so much.
No. You know why? Because it's my dream to talk hockey on a podcast, on Sipping on a 40 with another Fijian. I just looked at the name. I feel like I have a cousin named Hassan, too, and your voice. I was like, yo, am I talking to a Fijian right now? Fuck, man. That was close. That was close. Man, it would have been awesome. Bro. Okay, well, tell us more about your podcast.
Yeah, boys, Cast Basement Cups, obviously kind of a funny name based on a lot of arguments on Twitter. We kind of tried to be chill here, not to kind of lay back, a little funny. You guys kind of remind me of how we talk around here, so it's pretty fun talking to you guys as well. Don't take ourselves too seriously.
Man.
We try to talk more big picture stuff, not really too much about minor stuff in the games. Obviously, man, people don't really want to tune into a podcast where you're breaking down every single small play in the game because, if you really want to, you probably just listen to 1040 or 650.
I love it, man.
Score stats, right? So you want to put your own spin on it. So, I've got me and my two brothers. We all do them together. So,
That's beautiful, man.
always agree. So yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Are those your actual brothers?
Yeah, bro. I got my twin brother and then another little brother too.
Dude, that's beautiful, man.
It's a family affair. I like to hear that.
Dude, that's the best type, man. I actually wish you all the best, and you know, it's we're in the same market and whatnot. But that's actually the most beautiful story I've heard of a Canucks podcast. Three brothers? That's beautiful. Nick, you got something to say?
Yeah. So I have one more. I just have one question. So let's talk about next round. Let's get hyped up. Let's get hyped up.
Okay.
Let's get hyped.
I'm gonna play some party music. I'm gonna play some party music. Okay.
The Canucks are either gonna play Dallas or St. Louis. Who do you want, Dallas or St. Louis?
I mean,
Dallas.
You're gonna say Dallas? I mean, the Canucks played St. Louis tough this whole year. I mean, there was
the game
famously gave up the 3-0. That was a 2-1 game they battled. But I mean, Dallas is a really stifling defensive team. Kind of like they kind of remind me of the Wild in that way with how they smother you. But I think the difference is that they got Ben Bishop in net and not Alex Stalock. So that could be different cities for Vancouver there. But I think I still have to go with Dallas. I think just St. Louis is, you know, defending cup champions. And I think they're kind of around me of Winnipeg. It's just been a hellish matchup for Vancouver in the last few years. You know what me and my brother always say this, man. Like, the Canucks got some good skill guys, but when we run up against teams like St. Louis and Winnipeg, those guys, they got thick bitches on their team, man. The Shifleys, the O'Reillys, the Petrangelos, the Parekos, those guys, they're their best players and they're huge and they wear you down, boys. So, you know, I think that might not be the ideal matchup. So I think I would still go with Dallas here.
Interesting. I would say St. Louis for the same reason that I would say St. Louis reminds me more of Minnesota because they can roll four lines and they're great defensively, right?
Man, okay, yeah. Nick, get your head out of your own ass, okay? This team's not beating St. Louis. They had a tough time beating Minnesota. Okay,
I'm not saying they're gonna win. I'm saying that I'd rather have St. Louis than Dallas because I think Sagan and Ben would tear up this Canucks defense.
Okay, let's be honest. The Canucks. I think the Canucks played the worst team out of all the teams in the dance. I swear I stand by that.
Montreal's worse than Minnesota. Worse than Minnesota.
No, but like if you look at the tiebreaker, look at the superstars on Montreal. Carey Price is way better than any player on Minnesota. That's just my tiebreaker. The best player on this team was Kevin Fiala. Great player, but I'm just saying I think this team actually played the worst team in the dance. They still have a lot to prove. I'm not getting ahead of myself though, man. Think about round one. Tomorrow's Saturday, man. Come on, man.
I don't know if it's the worst team. Like you said, though, like game-breaking talent wins playoff games at the end of the day. The Pedersens and the Hughes win games, right? So, I mean, usually in playoff series, I'm always biased. The team that's got the best player on the ice, even if he doesn't have the best team. So Minnesota might have had more depth than some of the other teams in the dance. But like you said, if your best game-breaker is Kevin Fiala, then you probably aren't going to go very far. So I do see your point in that. But in terms of...
You can disagree with me, man. You can just tell me to fuck off, man. Huh? I said, you can just tell me to fuck off. You know, it's all good, bro.
We won't take offense.
This is a good point. You make a good point.
This is sipping on a 40. You're on the 15th ranked highest Canucks podcast in the city of Vancouver. That's unbelievable, man. Honestly, bro, you did an unbelievable job. And that story, once again, don't listen to this show anymore. Go support family. Go support love, dude. That is the most beautiful story ever, man. I love that. That's awesome, man. Wish best of luck to Cap Space Wins Cups podcast. That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Hey, no worries, boys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
No problem. You're listening. Yes, you're listening to Sippin' on a 40. Oh, man. Sippin' on a 40. Nick Bondi, Kyle Bowen. Once again, thank you to Hassan. Yes, Hassan from Cap Space Wins Cups podcast.
Yeah, right.
Wow, I did it. It's a lot of things going on there. Okay, but I love it. I love it. We're talking about brothers. We're talking about family doing what they love to do. Go check out that podcast. Nick, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely, man.
Yes, you know. I don't even know if this is a question. This might be a statement. You know that I was the first person in the city to say Quinn Hughes is the greatest Canucks defenseman of all time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you were the... I remember it being here in... After like the first game, and before the first game, probably when you were saying Quinn Hughes is the best Canucks defenseman ever, and I remember, hey, I have a very vivid memory of that first regular season game back in October, against the Oilers. Leon Draisaitl pretty much stiff arms Quinn Hughes, goes for a goal. I'm like, oh man, Maybe his defensive game
yeah,
needs something to be desired. Maybe he's got to work on it. But ever since then, there hasn't been really any questions about that. And yeah, he's on pace. And I don't think it's even this much of a hot take right now anymore. He's on pace to be probably the greatest Canucks defenseman ever.
He's already there, man. He's already there. He's
probably
very close already. I know you got to put the work in, you got to put the games played in, blah, blah, blah. But let's be honest. The standard for excellence on the back end, it's not really high. This franchise obviously hasn't seen anyone like Quinn Hughes. And for Quinn Hughes to just come here and pretty much look comfortable right away in the city of Vancouver, you know how hard it is to play hockey here? It is so hard to play hockey in Vancouver because it's hard. You really have to embrace everything that comes with it and still be elite. Quinn Hughes cares about this game. He loves hockey. And he is a killer. He's a gangster. He really is. He's cold-blooded. You see it in the interviews. You see it in the conversations that he has with the media. I'm not saying he's a dick. He's not a dick. He just cares about hockey.
Yeah.
He just wants to be on the ice. Everything else, it really doesn't matter to him.
He shows up, gets a goal and assist, gets a few points. Controls the game, goes home. That's all he does.
Why is he so calm? And his calmness and his resiliency, most importantly, let's be honest, let's be real. Being resilient, one of the most important things in life, let alone a hockey game. His resiliency reminds me of a player that I feel as if he will... Oh man, this is a bold statement. This is crazy, but he does remind me of Scott Niedermeyer. And I feel as if he plays out his career, knock on wood, injury free. That's how good this dude can be. That dynamic and that instrumental to the game of hockey. He is phenomenal. When Quinn Hughes is on the ice, you're playing his game.
He never panics. When he has the puck, he's controlling the game. He's controlling where everyone's moving. He's wheeling and dealing. I would say Scott Niedermeyer is a pretty good comparison. Yeah,
and Roman Josi, which is like that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I feel as if in the middle of this trajectory, the highest he could go is Roman Josi. And if he's able to surpass that, it's as big as someone like a Scott Niedermeyer, which would make him obviously the best Canucks defenseman of all time. This team has been littered with great, good. I would say good. I don't think you can be a great number three defenseman. Good. Number three defenseman. Number two defenseman.
They've never had
a number one. Never. No. Never. Until this year. And Quinn Hughes in this game, when things weren't looking that good, the goaltending was really shaky. The Canucks get bad goaltending, horrible goals against. It becomes 4-3 off a fluke towards the end of the second period. That's when a young team could pack it in.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
That's when you pack it in.
That 4-3 goal could have been a backbreaker. That could have been a goal. That could have been a goal that could have been a game winner, and that would have been bad for Markstrom. And at least Jacob Markstrom now, they win the game. He has a feud. I don't know when the next round's supposed to start.
Who knows? Who cares, man? I'm celebrating this weekend,
so okay. It doesn't really matter. But Jacob Markstrom, he's now got a few days to compose himself, work on his game,
calm down.
And I'm expecting him to be back to Jacob Markstrom for when they play the Dallas Stars or St. Louis Blues, whichever one we get.
Mm-hmm. No, straight up. Sometimes those things happen. And to end things off with Quinn Hughes, just going into the third, being down a goal, again, backbreaker type of goal. He was on the ice for most of the game, pretty much in the second period onwards. In that third, though, it felt as if he never left. And he kept trying to push the pace. He was not going to let this team not generate chances. And it was going to come at a risk. We saw it happen with the Fiala play, where he broke free after a Quinn Hughes mistake. But those are the type of things that lead to chances. And I said it before, he brings chaos on the ice. And he's playing for your city, Vancouver. Blessed. That is the biggest blessing hockey-wise this city has had since Elias Pettersson. And the fact that those things happen so close in time is a fucking miracle, bro. A miracle for a team that's had a lot of bad luck.
Absolutely. And I think Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, I think we said this on the episode with Jax McDonald, that the Canucks have probably the two hardest things to get when you're a rebuilding franchise in a number one defenseman and a number one center. And now
I gotta cut this guy off, man. Nick Bonney's the fucking MVP, man. MVP, go follow the Nux Misconduct Network. I just laughed at the tweet, man. I saw your tweet right now on the Nux Misconduct Twitter page.
Chris Tanev, yeah.
Holy moly, man. You're the MVP, bro. You're the MVP. We're going off to the second round. The MVP, Power of the Towel, host Nick Mondi gets to continue to make episodes for the network. That's awesome, man. I'm excited, man. Isn't that the best thing?
I didn't want the next episode of Power of the Towel to be a postmortem. I didn't want it to be a postmortem. That's what I was hoping for this tonight. I was like, just win it tonight. And then when I have, I can say it now. I'm going to have Blake Price on next episode of Power of the Towel.
Dude, that's early. That's early. What if he backs out? You jinxed it.
It happens. I take that back.
If he backs out, Blake Price is
bad person. Now it's on the record that he's going to be on my podcast. And if he backs out, it's going to make him look bad. So now he has to come on.
You want us to cry?
I will cry. I will cry on camera if you back out Blake Price at this point. Don't do it, man. You don't want to see me cry.
Don't do it. Hey, Vancouver, congratulations. Celebrate safely. And you get to watch a minimum of 2 more weeks, right? About 2 more weeks of meaningful hockey. And that's when Vancouver feels like Vancouver. I'm happy. Yes, very happy for the city of Vancouver once again. Bondi, finish it off.
I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, hope everyone's had their car flags on by the time next game starts, whenever that is, against the Dallas or St. Louis Blues. I want to see car flags around this city. I put mine on before game one. Not saying I'm a hero or anything like that.
No, you're a hero. You're a fucking hero.
Not saying I'm a hero or anything like that. The other thing, embrace the fake, okay? We've been saying this for a couple of months now. Embrace the fake. Oh. You've seen it. You've seen it today as we're recording this earlier. Montreal, Chicago won their series. This is the COVID Cup. This is a playoff season, unlike anything we've seen in hockey history. Anything can happen. So why not the Vancouver Canucks? I'm just saying, why not the Vancouver Canucks? Anything can happen at this point. Anything.
There you go.
I'm not putting anyone to win any series next round.
There you go, man. I believe my man is happy right now. Bondi is happy as fuck. Because he's feeling Vancouver again. The people, man. The people know that the hockey team in this city really matters. It really does. And everyone is going to be on the same page. It's going to be a happy time to be a Vancouver right now. It's going to be a lot of things. We said this too. You went around and people are going to embrace the fake. We're talking about the craziest fan base.
One of the most rabid,
aggravated fan base. They've been through a lot. At the same time, though, it doesn't stop them from being passionate about the success of this club. That's just a fact. It's just proof. They're always there when they don't have to be. 50 years. It took 50 years for this team in a Canadian market to get one number one defenseman. 50 years, no cup. There's a lot there. But the people stick around, and it's for moments like this. The people are about to embrace the fake. And people are also about to tell the world that Quinn Hughes is the best Canucks defenseman of all time. And we'll leave it for the podcast, right? We're not going to tweet about it. Hey, Kyle Bowen said it first. But just know, you're listening to the podcast that really did say it first.
You know what? No, tweet it out.
No. You know, we save it for flex. The podcast. Flex. No, we save it for the podcast. I've interviewed the people. I had a couple interviews in the beginning of this season. Before we stopped doing interviews on Sipping on a 40. And I brought it up every time. Nobody agreed. It's all good. I got it. I got the ammo. That was Sipping on a 40. Kyle Bowen talking to you. Nick Bondi talking to you. Follow Nick on Twitter. And follow Nux Misconduct on Twitter. It's a fun time during games. KYLEBHAWAN. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, have a good morning. Yes, a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. We don't know when you're listening to this. But yes, the Nux Misconduct Network. We appreciate it. Peace.
Peace.